Welcome to Artists Mean Business. This is episode 20, and today I'm here with Ben Ritter, photographer and artist entrepreneur. Thanks for being with me today.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Well, you know, I always like to start off, you know, getting right to the meat of things. So, you know, was there a moment when you started in your career that you thought, you know what, I'm an artist? Was there a moment when that happened?
It's funny with photography because I think there are fine art photographers who will spend their whole career trying to be part of the gallery world and doing business as if they were a painter or a sculptor. I never saw myself there. I was attracted to New York. I was attracted to the media. So I consider myself more of a photographer than an artist. There's a business side to it. I have to be flexible with clients. I do a lot of work for hire. So even though I'll make my own art, that will perpetuate or maybe even just qualify why I get hired to do commercial work. It's not necessarily art in its purest form. I cannot draw or paint. So I actually have trouble calling myself an artist, but I do see myself on the spectrum. I do create something from nothing for a living. So when did I know I was a photographer? I probably started claiming it too early because it's what I wanted to be. And you sort of dress for the job you want, right? But ultimately, it came down to just making a living doing it full time and being able to be comfortable in those shoes and being able to deliver for clients. So it's really a process. But to put a number on it, I'm 31 years old right now, and I was totally independent when I was 25, and I'd been shooting assignments since I was 20. So it falls somewhere in those early first 5 years when that was my source of income and that was my direction in life, and that was what I decided to commit myself to.
It's a good point though. I think a lot of people say, well, I'm an artist, but currently I'm working in, you know, Arby's or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of fine artists will make commercial work because it's important to make a living, and I don't think there's any shame in that. But there's fine artists who will do a little commercial work, maybe very quietly. And as far as my career goes, I do a lot of commercial work, and the art will sort of be incidental or maybe on the side.
As you got into your formal role as a, you know, quote unquote photographer, were there tools in your toolbox as a professional that you had that enabled you to be successful in your career?
Absolutely. It's when you're a photographer, you're still an independent person that people need to like, because it's very much you one-on-one with a client. You can't do it remotely. You have to show up for the job. And then you are with people who may not be like you. You know, I can be with very outrageous, edgy, you know, like rock and roll lifestyle people who are looking for a certain thing, or another day you could be with an executive of a really conservative company and needing to do an assignment for them. So you do need to be able to be very self-aware and diplomatic. You have to realize your place, you know, you have to be able to carry, you know, if you've been doing it for 10 years, you have to have 10 years of experience in your gait, in a way. You know, you really need to bring that to the table. You need to be trusted by people that might have 30 years of experience where you have 10 or you know, whatever numbers. As far as making it from the start, though, I was young. I was ambitious. People did like me. And I actually came into the field at a time when film was completely still dominant in the very professional, high-end part of the world, but digital was creeping in, and I had a background in both. I actually did mostly film in college, and then right at the end started as an early adopter to work digitally just for assignment work, and that was just a huge asset for me. I had something that all these people with, you know, 100 million years of experience didn't have. I knew how to do something they didn't know how to do, and they really relied on me to show them the way. So I definitely was in And now it's so far down the road, everyone has a nice digital camera and everyone's kind of shoots that work that you see on Tumblr. It all looks the same. I was doing it for years before them. So I really had that advantage, I'd say. And you know, after a while, everything normals out. But there, I already had a career by the time everyone was catching up. So that was nice for me.
I think it's a really good point that it doesn't matter what career you're in, that if you see a trend happening, you know, you jump on the bandwagon, so to speak, to learn it, but also not to throw the baby out with the bathwater and like, well, you know, that's so passe to not learn their traditional mechanisms, I think would be a disservice to yourself.
Yeah, I was really lucky because it's a nice point. It's for some people who are becoming digital photographers now, I can't even believe people would go to school for that. You know, it's so intuitive and you can do it by yourself. I didn't even have that option growing up. You know, I got into photo when I was 15 years old and there was only film. You know, digital cameras had no place in art or commercial work. They weren't up to speed yet. So I definitely had that advantage. It's like a classically trained musician who plays rock and roll probably is going to be a better rock and roll musician, you know? I believe that.
If you were to kind of speak to yourself back at 15 or even coming out of college, is there any advice you would have given yourself or even to those emerging artists on the come up now?
Yeah, I give advice to a lot of younger people who maybe I'll, you know, see a piece of myself in, you know, if it's usually lends itself to their ambition or how bad they want to be a photographer. The things I tend to hear myself saying are there's a very famous photographer named Ryan McGinley, and everyone in college thinks they're going to be the next him because when he was 25 years old, a decade ago, he was shooting snapshots of his friends in New York and making, you know, these outrageous, cool, crazy, edgy, controversial photos that, you know, really just resonate with everyone. They're beautiful. And he did an amazing job. But it's 10 years later and he's already did it and you're not going to be him. So get over it. You know, stop talking about him. Like, just look around, open your eyes. It's not a sprint. It is a marathon. That is the most cliche thing I hope I say in this whole interview. But you have to learn not just how to be a good photographer, but you have to learn how to be a good person. You have to be able to learn how to be good at business. You have to learn the technology. You have to be savvy. You have to break up with your girlfriend or boyfriend because you are 22 years old. Get over it. Get out there. Work your ass off, do not stop, and then at the end of the day, you can't just say you're a photographer, it's too transparent. Anyone can go online and look you up, so you better be prolific. You need to be making work, even if it's for you. That is great. You know, my biggest regret is that I don't have time to make more work just because I'm dedicated. That would be a great thing that I could have to show right now. People like to see that. They want to know that you're not just in it for business or money and that you're not stuck being in this position. So it's a lot of advice, but most of it has to do with just growing up into the role and realizing that when you're 22 years old, I don't care if you're the most talented, incredible person on earth, you still aren't going to be hired by big business, 50-year-old people who need someone to command a room and be the boss. You're not there yet. So, you know, take your time, figure it out. And at the end of the day, take the jobs, get the money, make a living doing it. Don't get distracted, but also realize you have to have your own style. You have to have a little bit of a voice. And if you can put all the pieces together, you're going to get really far. But putting the pieces together is not for everyone. And I think that it's something that can't really be learned, and that is the most innate built-in part, and that's what's going to be the difference between someone who can make it and can't. Absolutely.
One of the things you mentioned was this idea of having business savviness, and is there anything that helped you to gain that, or was it just a kind of a fail and learn?
I always was not afraid to ask a lot of questions. A lot of photographers or friends who are starting to maybe like get more commercial work that I've known for a few years will come to me, ask me what they should charge, you know? And I, it's, you might as well just, you help them out and you tell them, and it's just not being afraid of asking for what things are worth. There is a value on it. It's not like buying a product where it's tangible, but you know, if you ask enough questions and you do it long enough, you start to learn like what level you're working at and what companies have, and it's okay to ask for what your usual rate is. Even if they don't have it, you can talk. I mean, you have to be willing to just realize the person on the other end of the computer isn't going to be offended, or they're not typically pulling money out of their own pocket. They have budgets to work with. But I think asking questions, and hope if you're lucky, you get in to situations where people actually tell you what budget they have. That's rare, but you know, when you get a few of those, then you can use that and you say, okay, well, this is a similar job. Someone I already did for this much money, and that is exactly what they had for me. So, and that was fair. And I, you know, you have to be happy at the end of the day. You should never do anything for free because someone promises you more work. Trust me, you're not getting any, especially if you did it for free once. Unless you like think it's really cool, you want it in your portfolio or something, but you know, try not to get leveraged too bad. And yeah, I don't know. It's you just have to be not afraid of money, yeah. I guess is actually what I'm really trying to say. It's not that scary. You need it to sustain this business. I'm, you know, sitting here staring at a $4,000 computer and a $500 hard drive, and I have to have two $3,000 camera bodies, and then every 3 years a new one's going to come out. Like, these are real numbers, and then I have to pay rent. Like, this is my business, and if people want me to stay in business, they have to pay me what it's going to take for me to have a normal life. Like, I don't want to struggle. I don't want to be a starving artist if I'm doing commercial work. I want to have a business. I want to have a normal life. I want to be able to make enough money that I need and then put some away like everyone else wants to be entitled to, and it's that simple. And the only way to do that is to ask for what working hard is worth.
Right. Well, one of the last questions I have for you is the question that a lot of photographers get is, oh, I'm doing this event, you know, you're my friend, hook me up, right? Or I've got this photographer friend and they think of you. Like, how do you negotiate that, those relationships and not, you know, doing it for free?
Okay. When you're younger, it's harder because maybe your friendships aren't even as established. So maybe everyone's your friend. Mm-hmm. I think that, what I do now is I always have someone to recommend instead of me. And I politely thank them for thinking of me and then suggest, hey, why don't you call so-and-so? That is one way to do it. The other way is just saying no. You can say no to anyone. I say it all the time. If they're good enough friends, you would never say no to them for anything, and you'll be happy to do it anyway because it's just an excuse to spend more time together. I'm very happy to help my very, very close friends out, and I can count them on one hand. And then how many people do I know? 10,000. And when you get to a certain level, people actually don't have the balls to ask you to do something for free for them, which is nice. But when you're younger, you have to have lines for yourself, and I personally don't shoot events, so it's very simple for me to just laugh it off and be like, I made a deal with myself. If I'm shooting events, then this isn't what I set out to do. You know, I'm not obsessed with having a camera in my hand. That's my tool. That's how I create content for people. So it's very easy for me to politely decline, and then they can go ask someone else who maybe actually enjoys shooting events. And people usually even have just $100 for you, just for your time, so that you can walk away from it feeling like you in fact did a job. There was a transaction. You should ask for more though.
Right.
That's the answer. I'd say no and be polite and thank them for thinking of you because they did and it was nice of them. And you know, most people understand.
So to end our little interview and conversation today, I like to kind of end on an anecdote. In your mind, was there ever any happy accident or sweetest mistake that you recall? You know, looking back, you're glad it happened. At the time, it was not a good place.
I think that when I was in college, I was there for art and photo, and obviously if you go to art school, it means you have absolutely no foresight and you're not worried about anything but tomorrow, because the reality is, you know, you do have to make a living and and make this work for yourself. But I think there, maybe it wasn't a happy accident as much as just a random circumstance where I was sitting at my computer and going on the Boston Phoenix website. I was in Boston at the time in school, and I was looking just for concert listings just to see what was happening that week, and a pop-up window came up on my screen, really little, that said, Boston Phoenix looking for interns. And I was 20 years old, and I clicked the email address and I sent in my info, and because I thought, hey, that sounds pretty cool, actually. Like, I want to be a photographer for a cool alt-weekly newspaper. And then that was like a really serendipitous moment. I got the interview, and then I got the position, and I interned there for a semester and got credit and fell in love with doing the assignments and being called upon and doing a good job for them. And then when I left the internship, they kept me on as a freelancer for that next year in Boston. So instead of working in like a kitchen or at Starbucks, I was, you know, my income was to be a freelance photographer. And all of a sudden I'm either busy or I'm not. I'm making extra income at weird hours when I had free time. I was making more than I was making just, you know, doing an hourly wage job. Like a quarter page, for example, would pay me probably something like $150, which was like amazing back then. You know, you do a few of those a week, you're in college, like, and that was it for me. That was my job. I was going to be a photographer. Why would I want to do anything else but be able to say yes or no when I want and be able to sustain a life that I wanted for myself? And it's pretty remarkable how much things can grow from there. It's, you know, it's been a long 11 years since then, and so much has happened, and, you know, everything I've said in the last four questions are just completely, or what happens after that moment where you realize this is what you're going to do.
Well, you know, first, thanks so much for taking time this morning to meet with me, but also, if people are interested in seeing your work or even contacting you, where would you send them?
I have a website. It's benritter.com. You can go there. It's, you know, I update it when I can. I'll overhaul it soon, hopefully. But it's, you know, it's what I've been up to, and it's a good example of what I'm into. And then Twitter, Instagram, this is Ben Ritter, and that's probably plenty of channels to find me.
Great. Well, I'll make sure to put all that information on the podcast. Thanks so much.
Thank you. I appreciate it.